What's up, guys? Good afternoon. Welcome to the 330 Sports Show. Justin Coffin. Joe Danier is helping behind the scenes today. We have BJ in the back, and joining us, we have Andrew DiPaolo, meteorologist from WFMJ. So, Andrew, thank you for coming in. Obviously, we're going to talk the eclipse here in a minute. We're going to talk, I think we've experienced all four seasons of the weather this week.
Just about.
As well. Just about. So we got a lot to talk about. We'll get to that. You brought, as a tired dad, now I appreciate the coffee in the afternoon. Congratulations on your new one.
Yeah.
You were telling me, what, 3 months now?
She's going to be 3 months on Friday. Yeah.
Awesome. And and you are a lucky guy because she's a good sleeper.
She's a great sleeper.
So that's phenomenal.
Yeah, but I got to get some afternoon coffee here from Trex up the street. So people haven't stopped up there. Mahoning Avenue right across from Hackett's. It's a great coffee.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. So Trex, right? Shout out to Trex. Appreciate the afternoon caffeine boost here. So, well, let's get into obviously the main topic here, Andrew. So the upcoming solar eclipse, we're recording this on April 4th. So we have about 4 days, literally almost 4 days away from the time we're recording this. So just give me, before we get into like the nuts and bolts of it, give me just like why you're excited for this.
So I'm excited because this is a once in a lifetime deal. And I mean, I don't think you could be a meteorologist or astronomer and even an appreciator or somebody that studies science without wanting to be excited about this event, right? Last time this occurred was 1806 in Ohio. Last time a total solar eclipse was in the continental United States was in 2017. We had a partial here, but it's going to be way different, and I'm excited for that. There's going to be others in the United States, but in Ohio, the fact that you don't have to drive very far from where you are to see it is really exciting.
That's awesome. And you had mentioned like in 2017, I think it crossed through like the Nashville area.
It was Tennessee. Kentucky was like the dead center total point. We'll show a path here. You'll see like a blue line. It passed through Kentucky. Our Derek Steyer went down there. I think it was like Hopewell, Kentucky, something like that.
Sure.
But it was in Kentucky. And he went down there and experienced it. And, you know, he raves about it.
And from what I've, everything I have heard, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but the difference between, and I think it was one of you guys at WFMJ that said this, the difference between 99% and 100% is like mind blowing.
Yeah.
So why is that?
So 99%, because you're getting that, you're still in that partial shadow still. You're still in that penumbra is what it's called. When the moon crosses into, fully covers the sun, you're getting that full shadow, the umbra cast. That's why it's important. You're the full corona is what's being seen. And, you know, you're still, you know, areas in Mahoning County, we're going to get 99% of a partial eclipse. It'll look kind of like the sun is starting to set, probably a little darker than that. But the difference is when that full eclipse occurs, when totality occurs for whatever time it occurs, you're able to see the outline, the corona.
Yes.
There's a pretty big geomagnetic activity that's been going on with the sun over the last year. So we're kind of in a peak right now for the geomagnetic activity. You might be able to see streamers and some solar flares jumping out, that sort of thing. And as well, you might be able to see planets or even a comet come through. So I believe there's four or five planets that you should be able to see in line with the total solar eclipse, which is remarkable. And from what I've heard, animals acting differently. That's something apparently the weather calms down to. So just all of those experiences, whether it's for 30 seconds or a couple of minutes, very excited to witness that firsthand.
That's super exciting. And you know, just the fact, even today, you know, I'm looking outside and it's a really overcast, really cloudy day. Just was raining, but it's still pretty bright outside. So you're telling me this is going to be like the darkest of night?
Let's break down the forecast a little bit, what we know right now. 4 days out, we completely can basically throw out the fact that there's going to be a day like what's going on today. There is a little sunshine that's coming through. These clouds are pretty low, but not expecting much in the way of rainfall. If there's any rain right now, could occur overnight into Monday morning, pass through by Monday morning. There's going to be a warm front that's trying to lift across Ohio. So the problem is, what kind of cloud cover are we going to see? Mm-hmm. High clouds are better because they're thinner, right? They're the highest clouds in the sky. They're the thinnest. So optimal viewing there. Lower clouds like we're seeing now, not great because they're thicker. They're lower, right? We could get some more scattered low clouds. Definitely a possibility. Okay. Still could get some high clouds. The clouds are a question. Mm-hmm. Right now it looks partly sunny though. A very low end chance. So a day like today, we kind of dismissed a day like today happening on April 8th on Monday, which is good news.
Okay.
So, well, worst case scenario is not going to happen.
So better than not. Well, I'll put it up, and this is right from 21's page.
Yeah.
So you can see, you know, a slight chance of rain, but for the most part, partly sunny, which, you know, where we live.
Yeah, right.
That's probably not best case scenario. You'd almost hope it'd be that. It's a better case
for sure, because climatologically speaking, April 8th cloud cover at about 50% as far as a cloudy day.
Okay.
The amount of days on April 8th that were either sunny or mostly sunny, less than a quarter of the time, 50% of the time or better, we see a cloudy day, an overcast day on April 8th, and 50% of the time we see rainfall on April 8th.
Yeah.
So the odds are definitely stacked against us climatologically speaking. However, things are going to definitely be, you know, cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, yeah. So you're already taking a rare event and then slashing that in half,
right?
You know, with that chance, or doubling how tough that chance would be. But like you said, cautiously optimistic. Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer and be like, well, we live in one of the cloudiest areas in the entire country.
Right.
But
it's
a possibility.
You have to look at too, what kind of frontal dynamics are going to be moving through the area. Mm-hmm. Right. So if there was a day like today where there was an upper level low, I would tell you that winds are probably going to be coming out of the northwest. You're probably going to be seeing an increase in moisture, which means an increase in cloud cover is going to be likely. So that's working against us. However, what's going to be occurring is we're right in between actually two systems. So a warm front is going to be trying to lift. Typically with a warm front, what you see on a warm frontal boundary is you see light precipitation, you see some high cirrus clouds, you see more fair weather clouds as well. Sure. So that's good news for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Good deal. Good deal. So where we're at right now, we're recording this and WFMJ is right down the street. Mm-hmm. So we're right downtown Youngstown. We are not going to be in the full totality zone, but I'm going to take an image you sent over from that you guys put together at WFMJ.
Yeah.
And we'll go over some of the locations and the time of full totality. So I'll put the graphic up and want you to talk to us about it.
So how the eclipse path is working across the Buckeye State is areas off to our north and our northwest are going to see the highest amounts of totality. We're going to show the path of totality here in just a second, but basically, I don't know if we'll have it first and then we can go back to it.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, let's bring this up.
Go okay. With that.
So from Girard is on the line.
Okay. North
Jackson is on the line in Mahoning County. Anywhere from there all the way up to like the Toledo area, it's roughly 115 miles, the path of totality.
Okay.
That blue line you're seeing there, that's max totality. So that's going to be the maximum as it moves across its path. A little off to the south and southwest of us, that time is going to be a little bit more totality-wise than what you'll see in Cleveland. So Dallas's or Texas, Little Rock, they'll have a little more totality than what you'll see up in, you know, Cleveland. But you know, that is the max totality you'll see on that blue line, 115 mile swath of totality. You notice the metropolitan areas that are being hit, the towns, the cities that are going to get hit by this in Ohio, Cincinnati, Dayton, Lima, just outside of the Columbus area, Mansfield, Toledo, Cleveland here locally. I mean, major, major cities, almost every major city. In fact, every major city in the Buckeye State is getting hit with this outside of Canton's just south of it. But Akron's getting in on it. So people talked about the potential for a lot of gridlock, a lot of traffic jams. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of major highways that are running through the path of totality compared to Columbus off to the south and off to the east. A lot of rural places are kind of not getting in on this totality.
Sure, sure. So, very interesting. Yeah. So that's pretty great. Mm-hmm. So we'll, you know, we showed you the path of totality there. Now let's talk about some of the local places in that totality.
So Girard is getting, I think it's 30 seconds on the dot, or it's like 38 seconds, something like that. Mineral Ridge in Mahoning County, 39 seconds. I believe North Jackson is right there at like 30 seconds. Craig Beach, that's, I think, in Mahoning County. That's Lake Milton, 1 minute and 37 seconds. Niles, 1:18. Warren, almost 2 minutes. And then it climbs and climbs from there. Cortland, 2:18. You notice a lot of places that are not in the path of totality. Eastern Trumbull County, Eastern Mahoning County, mm-hmm. so Sharon, Youngstown, Hubbard, Sharon, obviously, in Mercer County. Greenville, though, in Mercer County. Spots in Mercer County are getting in on the path of totality. 1 minute and 50 seconds in Greenville. And then you got upwards of, I think, up in, yeah, there it is, Mesopotamia. 3 minutes and 12 seconds.
Wow.
So okay. Northwest corner of Trumbull County, that's going to be the prime location here in our viewing area for totality.
Okay.
And then it goes up. From the northwest, from there, it climbs a little bit.
So basically what you're saying, you know, if you're in the Youngstown area, if you're in Columbiana, you're going to see a partial solar eclipse. You're not going to get that full totality.
You're not going to get that full totality, and you're going to get over 90% totality. A lot of people, it's a technicality thing, but there's 90% of a partial eclipse, and totality is totality. So
right.
If I say you're out there and you're astronomy geek and I say 90% totality, I'm sorry, you know what. I mean,
exactly. So you guys are going to have full coverage of this, so like, tell us what you're planning on at WFMJ.
So we're going to have reporters, Jody and Jimmy, are going to be at different watch parties throughout the area in Trumbull and Mercer County.
Okay.
Eric is going to be anchoring our coverage in studio, and I'm going to be on the shores of Lake Erie. I'll leave it to be a little mystery where I am, but there's a pretty hefty Youngstown connection where I'm going to be.
Okay.
And I'm literally going to be standing on a beach on Lake Erie.
Okay.
So I am more than excited for that. Where I'm going to be is well over three minutes of totality. Very, very, very excited to kind of experience that.
That's awesome. Yeah. So that's cool. You get to be boots on the ground
right
out there and see it all. So let's talk about some of these eclipses and like when it begins, when it ends, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
but not a lot of people realize the reason we have eclipses is because the moon in its new moon phase moves between the earth and the sun. However, it's the tilt of the moon that's moving in the shadow. That's the key, moving in the shadow. Sometimes eclipses don't happen because the tilt of the moon is maybe outside of the shadow.
Okay.
So the partial eclipse will begin roughly around 2 o'clock. These are estimates, pretty good estimates. The edge of the moon will touch the edge of the sun right around 2.
Okay.
You'll notice some changes right around 2:35, 2:37 to right over 3:05. Now, National Weather Service in Cleveland put out a graphic that, you know, you might experience temperature changes depending on where you are between 10 and 20 degrees.
Wow.
And the reason for this is if it's a cloudy night, it stays warm overnight because the heat is all trapped. There's nowhere to go. If it's a clear night, those temperatures plummet. So if it's a sunny day and then all of a sudden it becomes dark, what's going to happen? Well, all of that warmth is going to leave the surface and move into the atmosphere. So we're going to experience a pretty stark temperature change.
That's similar to like a desert, right?
Yeah.
Where it's hot in the day,
exactly,
cool at night.
Same idea.
Okay.
Light temperature changes. Animals and plants might be affected by the lowering light levels. That's going to be right at 3:07. And that's when we're really close to that maximum eclipse. 3:17, roughly right there. Sun is going to be the most hidden. That's when you'll see the ring around the sun, the corona, maybe some really cool activity from the sun. And then after 3:17, we fast forward to about 3:30, we start to kind of move in the opposite direction.
Sure.
And then by 4:30, everything's all wrapped up.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So you almost get a 2.5 hour time span there of things
watching this happen.
Yeah, you can check out.
It's pretty remarkable when you think about the fact that we on planet Earth have a moon that is just big enough and just far enough to move in between us and the sun and cause this eclipse. I mean, it's insane. Because other planets have eclipses, but not to the same scale as this because of the difference in size.
That's really fascinating. Yeah. And I like what you pointed out there. I was going to ask, and I know there's different types of eclipses but we don't get this solar full eclipse more than, you know, every several hundred years,
right?
Especially in Northern Ohio.
Right.
So this is just fantastic. Something I was going to ask too, that you had mentioned, the tilt of the moon and the shadow of the moon is why this is happening.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So like, can you elaborate a little bit on why that doesn't always happen? Like every month we get a new moon.
Right. So, right. Exactly. You know. So you would think like every month we get an eclipse. Well, the moon in its path, as in its new moon phase, there is that shadow cast from the sun onto the earth, known as the penumbra. It's the shadow. This is the partial shadow. The full shadow, the thickest shadow, is known as the umbra. Well, sometimes the moon in its path can dip below the shadow, dip above the shadow in different kind of variations. So everything needs to be matched up.
That's amazing.
Pretty precisely for that to occur. So sometimes, you know, we do have total solar eclipses around the world. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they might be, in various kind of rural out there places everything. But to have it in a spot, like in 2017, we had a total solar eclipse that hit a lot of big places in the United States. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be similar.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Very good. Very good. I want to give...
Yes.
I think this was you or Eric that put this together, but I stole this off of Eric, WFMJ. Yeah. But... as you had mentioned, the last solar eclipse in Ohio, 216 years ago.
Yeah, 1806.
So, I mean, we're talking Ohio was three years old.
Right.
Lewis and Clark expedition ongoing, all that other stuff.
Right.
The president was freaking Thomas Jefferson.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, not many people.
Right.
Not
40 years old. We're in the talking, United States was 40 years. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
40 years. No, 30 years old. I'm sorry.
30. Yeah. Yeah. So we're talking not too long after the Civil War.
Right.
Is when this this happened.
Before.
So,
yeah.
And then, before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking the next one after this one is in 2444.
So the next one in the United States, I believe, is in 2044, 2045.
Okay.
So it's in 2044, 2045. And that one's in like the Dakota. Oh, there's one in 2044. There's one in 2045. That one's in the Dakotas. And then there's actually a few of them that are in various spots around the United States from 2044 to 2099. Next one in Pennsylvania is going to be 2079.
Okay.
The next one in Ohio will be 2099. So spanning the remainder of the century here, we've got five or six other ones. Mm-hmm. And there's a great site called Time and Date. It's outstanding if you want to look more into it.
Okay.
Look more into the paths, the time and everything. I should have wrote it down. But 2044, 2045, that's the next time we have total solar eclipses.
Wow.
And I know one is like in the Dakotas. Like it's up
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
It's up there. And then there's a couple others that span like the Gulf Shores into Florida. There's one that moves across like the southwest part of the country.
Okay.
And then you've got like 27.9 in PA, and then you've got 2099 here in Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. So the next one, if you're not planning on traveling to see an eclipse and you're maybe older than 10 years old, this is the one to see.
I was going
to
say, yeah. If you don't want to travel too far, make sure you see this.
Yeah, because you're not guaranteed this ever again.
Right.
In our, so here is the entire United States map.
Yeah.
And as you had mentioned too, this is going across major cities, like you said, Dallas and Little Rock into, you know, Indianapolis and Columbus. And so you can see, but we're talking, you know, all the way in, you know, Oregon, Washington, they're still going to see a partial eclipse.
Yeah, the entire United States will see something.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, because I know a lot of people this week, especially, were a little bit bummed out. You know, I don't feel bad for them. They're down in Florida right now on spring break while we're enjoying this beautiful weather.
We get something in the spring, right?
But they're getting that right there. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Now, a few other things. I had to type out a few questions that I'm not even going to put on there, but it's for my own cheat sheet here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to skip past a few that you already answered. But how do you guys know? This always baffles me. How does Eric, how do meteorologists in general know? Like, just to me, it's like, I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
But you can say, oh, the next solar eclipse is going to be in 30 years from now.
Yeah.
Here, time, date, location.
So how do you figure that out? There's people that are way smarter than us, astronomy people that are sit there and calculate all of the specific paths of the moon, and its phase and everything, and can kind of map that all out specifically. It's all calculations. And I mean, it's way above my education grade. You know, the good thing is we now have resources like that website, Time and Date, that I just told you
time
about,
and date. Okay.
Where you can go on and this is all already mapped out for you over the next century, which is unreal. So you don't need to do those calculations. You can just go on a website. You can find all that information. You can sound as smart as you want. So.
and this is like sort of based on the path of the sun, the sun's. Right. Obviously heliocentric, but the path of the Earth,
nice word,
orbit, and thank you. Yeah. So, obviously, it's based on the moon.
Yeah.
It always has to be a new moon phase?
Yeah, this has to be a new moon phase because the lunar eclipses are always full moon phase.
Okay.
So that's why you get the red tint because it's on the other side.
There's a new tidbit right there. Right.
Either 2 weeks or a very short time span. I was just talking with Kurt Spivey up at Ward Beecher Planetarium. I forget off the top of my head, but a really short time span in between the total solar lunar eclipse, and then there's a full lunar eclipse.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah.
And this is obviously the coolest of them all.
Right.
You know,
lunar eclipses are cool, and like, you know, they're always like, of course, in the middle of the night.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you're really into it, that's great. Like, go out there and watch it. You know, I won't deter anybody, but these are just. Yeah, they're once in a lifetime.
Yeah, it's mind blowing. Right. So, let's talk about the safety issue too.
Yeah.
Obviously, no one's gonna go. Like, we have a ring light up here.
Right.
And you know, even looking at that, you look at that too long, that's gonna hurt your eyes.
Right.
So, hopefully, I don't have to tell anybody never stare at the sun. But why is it so important when the sun is mostly blacked out to wear these glasses?
Because you can still harm your retinas. You can still harm your eyes. I was talking with Kurt Spivey a couple of days ago, and you know, he was like, Andrew, a good way to describe it to people is, maybe if you like were outside in the sun or even looking at a light too long and you kind of see those flickering lights, you know, you can see them right in front of your eyes. It's kind of like that, like almost permanently. That can permanently happen for you to see, because you're still looking into the sun, especially during a partial eclipse, just because it's blacked out. You could still get damage from that. So you want to make sure that you have your solar eclipse glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Some will work from 2017 unless they're damaged or harmed in any way. But you probably just want to just go buy another pair. If you haven't yet and you've got Prime, do that.
Go do that right now.
Don't wait until whatever 48 hours before Monday. Go do that now. I'm not sure if YM Camera has any left or whatnot. I know there's a variety of different locations across the valley that have been selling them. Mm-hmm. The Ward Beecher Planetarium and the Mahoning Valley Astronomer Society has been selling them at a variety of different locations as well. If you're looking for, you want to make sure the ISO, International Safety, that's what that stands for, and making sure that is on there. NASA standards, they're all good.
Well, I saw a story on a network the other day, and they said there's all these knockoff glasses, which is to me, it's just like that's insane that there's knockoff solar eclipse glasses. So but there is.
Somebody's watching right now and they're like, well, where do I go buy these? What's a good reliable source? Go to Ward Beecher Planetarium's website. On their website, they've got more information about the eclipse. They link you to an Amazon store of a seller that they highly recommend. I bought a pack of 9 that included 5 adult glasses and 4 kids glasses, which is nice too.
Yeah.
And that was like $15.
Yeah.
So they're really inexpensive, but go buy them now. And if you're like, I'm worried about the shipping and all that stuff, I know YM Camera was selling some. You might want to call and make sure before you rush there. But I know there's a variety of different locations across the valley who have been announcing that they are selling some, but you might want to do some of that research before you head out.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And shout out to a lot of the school districts around here who canceled school for Monday.
Yeah.
Most kids would be coming back from spring break anyway that week, but a lot of schools canceled it. I know many districts passed out glasses.
Yeah.
My daughters, even their preschool, just gave them a pair of eclipse glasses, which is great because, you know, this is, like you said, this is such a special thing. And I went back and forth with somebody who will remain nameless. I don't even know who it was on one of I think yours or Eric's Facebook thing saying, "Oh, I saw an eclipse like back in the day, and it wasn't that big of a deal." I'm like, no. And I think even Eric said, unless you're 100 years old, you weren't there.
Yeah, so, the last one in Pennsylvania was in like 1924.
Yeah.
So literally, unless you're 100 years old, you haven't seen one. And that wasn't even in Western PA. That was into Eastern PA. So this is a really special event, and just make sure that you're safe, your kids are safe and all that. And, you know, sunglasses won't cut it, but you can wear glasses and then put these solar eclipse glasses over your glasses.
Okay.
So you can do that. Okay. As long as you're making sure that's the top layer before you're looking into the sun. So.
Safety first, kids. Yep. Safety first. One more time. Through Ohio, there's the path of totality. Obviously, the green is the full totality counties. Mm-hmm. And then you can see, you know, those trickling out. We'll post some of the images Andrew sent me, as well as some of the other things. And you can see, you know, right in, make sure you're free. If you got to work that day and you want to get a little bit north, if you're in Youngstown, like me, I work in Boardman. You gotta, you know, plan ahead to get there 20, 25 minutes, whatever it's going to take. I believe Lordstown's right in the path there and they're hosting some event. So
FoxCon. Yep. Mm-hmm,
so I think that's maybe where I'm going to be watching it, but, you know, just plan on getting there. And like you said, roads might be crowded, stuff like that. So just get out, be safe, and get the glasses ahead of time.
Yeah, give yourself plenty of extra time. And you might want to give yourself plenty of extra time after the fact to let kind of traffic die down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Remember, if you are going to kind of those major locations, Akron, Cleveland, even if you're traveling over to Columbus or Toledo, these are major roadways, major highways across the Buckeye State. And it's going to be 4 o'clock when the partial, 4:30 when the partial ends, that's right in the peak time for evening traffic. Yeah, so even if people aren't watching the eclipse, they're going home.
Yeah.
So you want to be mindful of that as well.
Yeah, no doubt. This is one of, those events though, where you can literally tell your kids, tell your grandkids about.
Right.
And for some lucky people, I don't know your time schedule. You got a few minutes to stick around?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. We're going to talk a little bit more about the eclipse, but we're also going to, I'm going to throw some sports stuff at you too. Cool. So obviously the big sporting event that's going to be happening up in Cleveland will be opening day for the Guardians. So I know. Hey, it's nice though. We got to start in Oakland
like
with a little bit
season before opening day, but it's okay. But it all worked out.
Exactly. Yeah. So you get, you know, in Cleveland, Cleveland's a tough place to open the season too, with that March, April weather. Right. I don't know what baseball does like starting the season on the East Coast anyway, but the Guardians pushed back their home opener till I believe it's a 5:08 first start.
Yeah,
they were initially going to start at 4:08, but that would be a phenomenal place to watch the eclipse in that stadium right then. So you can see, obviously, I can keep showing these images, but it's going to go almost right through the heart of Cleveland, a little bit north or south, depending on where you're at.
But so here's the thing with that. Here's my hot take on watching it at a stadium is making sure you have clear view of the sun, right? And you should, because the sun's not setting now until almost 8 o'clock.
Okay.
The sun is pretty high in the sky still, not going to be, you know, at solar noon, obviously.
Sure.
But we're just tilting a little bit down closer to the western horizon. But you know, buildings and whatnot, and you're in a stadium, and I'm worried about a clear line.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
I'd rather be, you know, where I'm going to be. You got the lake, you got everything. You're in a big parking lot, like at Foxconn. You don't have anything kind of disrupting your line of sight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it should be fun.
Hey, And, or maybe, you know, get out in a clear viewing path. Hopefully it's clear, and then you go into the stadium.
Exactly.
Watch some baseball.
Watch some baseball.
So, pretty good day there. So, all right, let's talk. I want to get your picks for the men's Final Four this weekend.
Okay.
I don't know how much you've been paying attention.
I was at the beginning because I was doing really well, and then Kentucky decided to lose.
Yeah. Well, Kentucky. YSU Horizon League member, Oakland.
Right.
So.
If the Horizon League wasn't as tough, Oakland would have never beat them.
I think you're right.
It's YSU's, I think it's YSU's victory as well, right?
Hey, why not? Exactly. So our final four teams this year for the men's tournament, we got UConn.
Okay.
They're going to be taking on Alabama.
Okay.
And Purdue is taking on sort of the Cinderella.
Right.
NC State, who did end up knocking
what
out.
What was Alabama's seed?
Alabama's a four seed.
Okay. They never were good at basketball.
they
are this year.
This is their first final four appearance ever.
Oh, ever.
Ever. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And I hate Purdue. So I'm going to... I have UConn winning. I do have them in my bracket. Yep. So I'm going to stick with them. I want to say NC State. UConn's playing who? Alabama?
UConn's playing Alabama.
Okay, I'm going to think. I'm going to say UConn's going to win. And then NC State's playing Purdue. That's going to be a really tough game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Part of me, my head says Purdue.
Okay.
My heart says I want NC State to win.
Okay.
Because I hate Purdue. But I think logically, I think Purdue, because Purdue's been a pretty notable bust.
Yeah.
In the NCAA
Well, last
tournament.
Year they lost as a one seed to a 16.
Right.
So and second time
historic.
Ever.
Yeah, that was historic. And they have not, I thought they were going to lose in maybe like the second or third round this year.
I did
too. Continue their kind of like bust history, but they haven't. And so I don't know. I think Purdue will win. I think UConn will beat Purdue.
Okay. All right. So the only difference we have, I have UConn beating Alabama and I have NC State. I figure what the hell. I'm like you. Yeah. I don't like Purdue.
Let's do
so
it.
I got UConn, I NC State, the two canines left in the in the final four here. And then I got UConn winning their back-to-back title there.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
little cool final four note. But the other final four will be taking place also in Cleveland this weekend, this Friday and Sunday. And honestly, I'm a former women's basketball coach.
That's right.
I appreciate the talent that women bring to the game. You have a daughter now.
Yeah.
I have a daughter now. So I think it's really cool to see the growth of the game. So the women's Final Four, we just had a huge game, and I'll give you some numbers here on the LSU Iowa game here that was awesome. But you got a couple. And you got two of the four women's teams that are in the men's side with UConn and NC State, which is really cool.
There, yeah.
And then you got Iowa, obviously, Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. And then you got South Carolina, the number one overall seed. So obviously, Caitlin Clark has changed the game. But so let me have your predictions for this one. So UConn is playing Iowa. South Carolina is playing NC State. So what say you in this?
I don't know much about college basketball. I know nothing about women's basketball other than Caitlin Clark can shoot it. I watched the second half of that
right,
game.
Right.
She could shoot it from anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal. And they're playing NC State again.
So UConn is playing Iowa.
Okay. I'm just gonna take Iowa overall, period.
Okay.
So I think they're gonna win it all.
Okay.
I think they're gonna win it all. Like she's unreal. She's unreal. Like she's an unreal talent. I mean, she was like freaking passing behind the back and, doing all, and like, it's wild. I mean, she's really good.
There is one thing I will say that has been going around that drives me nuts. And it says, tell me why Caitlin Clark shouldn't be in the NBA. And I'll tell you a few reasons. One, Caitlin Clark, let her be great in women's basketball. She is maybe the best to ever do it. I would push back on that a little bit. She is a great player, a great skilled player, but that is a condescending way to tell Caitlin Clark, I think that demeans her and it demeans the NBA players too. You take the least athletic, worst NBA player and it's still not a comparison. Size, height, athletic ability. Caitlin Clark could spot up and hit threes in the corner.
Right.
But, she's also, basketball is a two-way game. So
anyway,
I don't want to go on a soapbox about that, but let her be great in, that's not to you. That's at certain people out there. But I think UConn Iowa is going to be a great game. I like Iowa to win that one.
Sure. But like 12 point something million viewers.
Yeah.
They're doing insane numbers.
Yeah.
And, hopefully she helps grow the game of women's basketball, whether it be college or the professional level. And certainly has. I mean, NBC has been carrying kind of the first time I've noticed, I flip on TV and, women's college basketball on NBC on a Saturday or Sunday. And I think it's actually really smart where they do place a lot of these women's college basketball games, you know, maybe in an off season on a Sunday afternoon mm-hmm. where there's not much going on and you know, you just want to flip on sports yeah. or something like that. It's really smart. And I think they're so April 5th and 7th. And today is what?
So that's tomorrow, Friday and Sunday.
And you know, what's the problem with like men's college basketball, the Final Four mm-hmm. and also the football championship.
Yeah.
Because it's on like a Monday night at like 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. Put it on a normal time.
Yeah.
Put it on a normal time. Put it in a time where people can actually enjoy it, watch it and enjoy it. Instead of us going like, oh no, it's like 8:30 at night right. on a Monday.
Yeah.
We're just getting into our work week and everything. Exactly. And we're not going to watch it if we're not like devoted to the fan or the team. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we have a little bit of money in it.
Yeah, right, right.
So, I mean, what's the point of watching it?
You know? Amen, I amen. Mean. And Andrew, as a former morning show guy, yeah. I'm sure does not appreciate those late. You know, yeah. like, we don't need to cater to the West Coast. No. They need to cater to us.
Right, exactly.
Like, come on. You right. know, most of the population is east of the Mississippi. Right. So
get on my time.
Yeah, exactly. Get on my level, right. California.
Right.
But with that said, the only team South Carolina has lost to in the last 2 years has been Iowa last year.
Oh, interesting.
So we have the makings of a rematch in the championship game. So I will say Iowa will lose to South Carolina okay, in the championship we'll game. But I hope it's a great show yeah. and Cleveland hit Absolutely. The absolute jackpot. Absolutely. There is going to be millions and millions of dollars.
The USA basketball women's team is practicing mm-hmm. up in Cleveland, I believe at the Cavalier facility yes. where they practice in Independence.
Yep.
I believe they're there practicing and everything. There was our NBC affiliate up in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. One of their sports reporters tweeted out about the fact that they were, you know, getting interviews and all that stuff, doing some media time and all that. But that's really cool.
That is cool. But yeah. my question is, these four girls should probably be on that Team USA squad. Yeah. Paige from UConn, obviously right. Caitlin Clark.
Maybe they're scouting their future teammates there. Maybe they're doing that.
So interesting scheduling there. I mean, we can get the solar eclipse down, but you guys can't get down the practicing. Maybe they want to do both. I get it. Okay. Right. All right. So here's those numbers you were talking about. Yeah. So Iowa LSU this past Monday night averaged 12.3 million viewers. That is more than any women's basketball game ever played, mm-hmm. every ESPN college basketball game ever, every Major League Baseball game last season, every NHL game last season, wow. every MLS game last season, every NBA game last year except for one, and every college football regular season except for one. I bet you can guess it.
The championship. Wait,
Ohio State, Michigan.
Ohio State, Michigan.
The
okay.
Regular season.
Oh, yes. okay, so, the regular season. Okay,
but every. And it outdid all of those games.
I'm sure 12.3 million is more viewers than MLS the entire season combined. Every game. Every right. game over the entire, because they throw it on Apple TV yep. plus. You need 18 subscriptions to watch, you know, your favorite team, and it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on a normal channel. I'm sick of it. Same with the USA. See with the men's team.
Andrew getting fired up. I love it.
The US men's team's love on it. Paramount Plus. I had to watch it on. I had to watch the other game against Mexico on Univision in Spanish.
I love it.
It's ridiculous.
Tell them.
Paying extra. Tell them. I did get to hear them say goal in Spanish, which was well worth it.
All right. One more women's basketball okay. point. I don't know if you saw this, but last week they played in Portland.
Okay.
That was one of their regional sites. Mm-hmm. Do you notice something about the court there? Let me just say, look at the three-point line.
Three-point
line. On one side versus the other.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely
so they mismeasured. They mismeasured.
Yeah.
And that would never happen. And could you imagine if that was the men's Final Four or Elite mm-hmm. Eight?
Definitely
that would never happen. So the only thing about basketball, which you can say, mm-hmm. is both teams play on both ends right. because they flip-flop at the half.
You know what I have to say to those people that did that court? Must be nice to be 50% wrong. It's a good job.
No one calls them out at the right, grocery store. All right, moving on. Let's go real quick. Shout out to the new Youngstown State men's and women's basketball coaches. We've had Jared Calhoun on this show before. Jared is a phenomenal human being. He's a great basketball coach. Two of his former assistant coaches are coaching in the NBA right now. The Boston Celtics head coach and the Memphis Grizzlies head coach were both assistants with him at Fairmont State. Now, wow. Jared Calhoun takes on a new challenge. He goes to Utah State, who was in the tournament, actually lost to Purdue in the second round, or in the, yeah, in the second round this year. So good luck to Jared Calhoun. We wish him all the best. And
turn the program around, man. I mean, yeah, 20-plus winning seasons, the first time since Roselli, Coach Roselli, took over
early
80s. And, yeah, something like that. And yeah, it's incredible. I mean, just so close every year to making that. Making that NCAA tournament. So
I know. Yeah. And obviously Oakland made it and you see how good they were. So
and they were unstoppable this year, man. They're really good.
Good stuff. And so good luck to Coach Faulkner, who takes over. Was a I believe on the staff for the last 5 years. So wish him all the best. And we'll hope the Penguins have continued success.
For sure.
On the women's side, obviously Coach Barnes took a leave of absence and then stepped down. Coach Nicholas did a nice job this season with the Penguins, but head coach now Melissa Jackson comes in from Cleveland State, and we wish her all the best this coming season. So,
yeah, they've had a few good years as well. Women's side.
No doubt.
Good,
yeah.
Good time for the program there.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Both men and women's basketball in Youngstown is a very healthy situation. Sure. All right. I got about 10 more minutes. I'm going to keep you because I know you got to get to work and all that stuff, but I figured you were getting fired up about the time. So let's get you fired up about a couple more things.
Okay.
So the NFL, there has been a new rule change put into place, and I'm sure you've heard of it, but we're going to put it up here on the screen. So the kickoff is vastly different now.
Yeah.
Before I put it up on the screen, and like, what's your knowledge of it and what do you think of the new kickoff?
So there's a lot of rules, but it sounds like from everything I heard that it's safer for the players.
Yes.
And maybe you're going to get more potential returns for touchdowns, that sort of thing. If it's safer for the players, I mean, it's kind of hard to argue that, first of all. But there's a lot of like, if this happens, then this happens. If this happens, then this happens. So I think it's going to take a little bit of time to understand the scope of it.
Yes.
But seems I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, so they took this from the XFL, which is crazy. You know, so now obviously you used to kick off from the 35-yard line.
Yeah.
You know, you could have basically do just about everything, but you'd get in theory a 65-yard running start. Mm-hmm. And that's where you said the player safety comes involved now, because the new kickoff rules, they're going to be lining up at the opponent's 40-yard line.
Okay.
The people that are allowed to move before the ball is touched is the kicker who's kicking off and the return man who's catching the ball. So
I did not know that.
Yeah. No one can move until the ball is touched.
Okay.
Now.
Even the returning team.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So this should be, like you said, it should be more exciting to watch, but also increase player safety.
If somebody moves, is that just an offsides?
I guess it would be like a false start kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe if it's on the kicking team, maybe you add 5 yards to the return. Or if they don't like the return, maybe it's, I don't know.
So if somebody, I don't know. I feel like they have to be a little more lenient with, you're watching all the players. So the other 20 players on each side.
Yeah.
Outside of the returner and the kicker. You're watching for them not to move.
I guess so.
I mean, that's a big job to make sure that nobody's moving. Are you going to call false offsides on one? I don't know. That'll be interesting to see.
It kind of reminds me of like a sacrifice fly in baseball when there's a runner on third. Like he can't go until the outfielder contacts the ball. So that's sort of what it reminds me of. You're allowed to have two men back to return. Okay. So you could technically have one if you wanted, but you could have two. So I guess technically at three people could be moving if you count the kicker and the two return men. But besides that, everyone's going to be standing still. So we'll see how that goes. Okay. But if they take a touchback, so this will increase it to want teams to return too. The touchbacks will now go to the 30-yard line, which not too long ago was the 20. Yeah. Currently it's the 25. So we will see how that all goes, but very interesting stuff out of the NFL. We'll obviously see more of that going for the preseason.
Yeah.
Weather. Cleveland.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I know you're not a huge fan of the ownership and with the Cleveland Browns.
No, I'm not a big fan.
I've just seen them maybe hate them. Sell the like tweet them. Or sell the team tweet here and there. But that's fair.
They're not fair. I don't know. I just feel like in the past they've had their hands into the mess too much.
Yep.
And I feel like now over the last 4 years, they've actually let Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski kind of do their thing. So I'm like, okay, I'll give you that. But there was the Deshaun thing, which we won't get into. And then there's the stadium thing, which I'm just kind of confused all around about. I don't know. I don't know what to think about Brook Park. I don't know what to think about not wanting to put a dome. I wish they just had a retractable roof in Cleveland. Pro Cleveland and pro Brook Park, I understand actually both points to their arguments.
I totally do too. So here there are two options they have laid out for the stadium. One is to renovate the current stadium, which would be roughly, they said, about $1 billion, keep it downtown, or two, about $2 billion, move it to Brook Park, put a dome on it, whether it's retractable, whether it's a fully enclosed dome. The best option to me would be somewhere downtown with a dome.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Do you know why they can't build a dome downtown, at least in the current location?
I thought it was money reasons, but
it has something to do with that airport that's there.
Oh, okay.
Hopkins, I believe.
Yes, right on the lake.
Which, to me, is like, that is the biggest waste of space.
Yeah, because it's just a small private. Yeah. It's like Vienna. It's like,
yeah, you know, it's like if a president flies in or something,
that's where they would
land. You know, it's like
private planes, stuff like that. So, I don't know if sports teams fly into there or not. They might. Yeah.
The best case solution to me is move that thing that hardly gets used. You know, and I'm sure there's a lot of politics and whatever that go into that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But
like,
apparently that the path of the flights, the dome would create some sort of deviation with like flight plans.
Oh, okay.
So
I actually did hear that. Yes.
So I don't know. I don't like it. I
think regardless, it needs to be a retractable roof.
Yes.
I don't think a dome is the answer, period. I think they're ugly. I think the retractable roof is something where you could keep the retractable roof open 80 to 90% of the time, unless it's like 20 below or something like that, something crazy. You've got just horrible, chilly rain, grapple like we're seeing today, you know, stuff like that. That's miserable to sit in.
Yeah.
If it's just a cold day
and
it's not miserably cold, I think like people want to be in that.
That's
Northeast Ohio football. Right. I think you still keep the retractable roof open for something like that, but then you close it in the worst case scenarios. And then of course you have, you know, your big ticket items, you know, Final Fours, big concerts, that sort of thing. You have the luxury of doing something like that.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, I mean, they use that stadium right now, probably 20 dates a year.
Yeah.
Imagine just going up to 100. You're increasing that fivefold.
Right.
So I don't know. Yeah. Brook Park is about, I think it's about a 15-minute drive from downtown Cleveland. So I think that still generates so much more money, revenue, all that stuff.
And the Haslams have had like a test run with this in Columbus because they were lucky with Nationwide already being there. You already had a pre-built little village with shops, bars, restaurants, that sort of thing. That was already built out for you with Nationwide and the Blue Jackets. So the fact that they were able to build in that already established
area. Have you been
to
that Crew Stadium?
I haven't been either. I've heard nothing but great things.
Same here. Yeah. Same thing. So that is one thing I will say. The Haslams do put their money out there.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
You know, as they should. You know, you own a franchise, you're also printing money back to yourself too. Right. So, all right. I just wanted your thoughts on that. We'll revisit that.
Yeah,
that'll
be a thing.
Okay. We are Browns fans.
Yeah.
There's two new quarterbacks in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I guess.
You got the goofball, and you got Justin Fields.
have one new quarterback.
As a Browns fan and an Ohio State Buckeye fan, it pains me to hear Justin Fields is the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I like Justin Fields a lot. I don't think he's the best quarterback, but I think he is someone that deserves a shot. I don't know. I thought he performed decent last year with the Bears, and I think he's somebody that'll continue to grow in the right system, that sort of thing. And, you know, I think he has a good opportunity in Pittsburgh. I don't understand the Russell Wilson move. I think that was more of a desperation thing before they picked up Justin Fields. Who knows what will happen with Russell Wilson this year? I mean, ideally you think he's got to not a start, at least for some time.
You would think,
right?
So. But yeah.
I think Justin Fields is probably your starter by the end of the season.
We're on the same thought process here. I was curious about that. But those two quarterbacks, I will say, have combined for the most interceptions and most sacks in the NFL the last 2 years.
Interesting.
So
and I don't think his personality really fits into like the Steeler mentality. I'm not a Steelers I'm not a Steelers fan by any means. But I've told Steelers fans with it, some of them are like, yeah, you're right. And like others are like, no, he'll fit in. From what I've heard, like they've done interviews up in Cleveland on sports talk radio about, people from the Broncos organization and, he'll have a crew following him, an entourage.
Right.
His office was on the same level as the coaches. He had personal chefs, masseuses. He had a camera crew following him. Does that fit in the Pittsburgh Steeler environment?
Right.
I don't think so.
And his wife is Ciara, who's the pop star and stuff. So, he's just goofy, I think his time has come and gone, but I can understand the signing in the sense of, I think it cost him like less than $2 million this year.
Yeah. I mean, money wise, they did great with it.
Yeah.
And I think the Justin Fields pickup was probably the better pickup of the two.
Yeah, right.
And you got a guy who has a lot of potential and has a lot of upside, and they've got some good wide receivers. You know, they always seem to land good wide receivers and good running backs and good tight ends. And so you got weapons there. So
Pittsburgh definitely improved themselves in the offseason, but Justin Fields, if they do pick up his option, will be like $26 million next year. So they get a little bit of a trial with him. If it doesn't work out, he becomes a free agent.
Yeah, I think it's smart money wise all around. I think they did a great job with that.
So we'll see. Yeah. But those Kenny Pickett lovers are kind of quiet right now. All right. Finally, I'm going to tell you what I'm watching.
Okay.
And then I don't know how much time you have between work.
Yeah.
New baby, stuff like that. But I'm going to give you five things that I'm watching or have just recently watched.
Okay.
And I want you to just give me something or
something.
So five things I've recently watched that are phenomenal. There is a show, and it's based on this book series called Three Body Problem on Netflix.
I've seen,
And Three Bodies is actually kind of what we're talking about today. It's three suns. It's like a tri-sun system. And I don't want to get all into it about the details, but it's basically like, if you're not into like aliens and stuff like that, but it is a good it's a good humanity versus what would we do if we were contacted type thing.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So that great show on Netflix that's out. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah, if you're classic. A Seinfeld person, if you're a Larry David, the last episode ever is airing this Sunday.
Oh, nice.
So definitely recommend that. Quiet on Set is the dark side of kids' TV. You go back to the Nickelodeon days in the early 2000s, late 90s. Mm-hmm. Creepy, but I say an entertaining watch from it keeps you captivated.
Okay.
So that's a really good watch. Napoleon. I haven't got all the way through it. It's like 3.5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
So I watched half of it, but so far so good. And then on Netflix I'm not like a murder mystery type guy, but there is it's called Lover, Stalker, Killer. Great.
Oh, nice.
Great show
on
Netflix that's based on a true story.
Okay.
And this dude that goes into this dating pool and it gets absolutely crazy. So very good stuff. So that's what I'm watching. Andrew, what are you watching, listening to, reading, any of that
currently
stuff?
We're watching the third season of Only Murders in the Building on Hulu.
Okay.
Really great show.
Okay.
You got Selena Gomez in that, but Martin Short Steve Martin. You got, all-star cast this season. You've got Paul Rudd's in that and a few others that are just Matthew Broderick makes an appearance.
Okay.
And you got some outstanding actors in that. What did I just finish watching? Masters of Air on Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
Outstanding if you're into World War II stuff.
Okay.
Really graphic, but like just, outstanding. And then what else? Movies we just watched were the Killers of the Flower Moon, which took us like 4 weeks to watch because it's like 20 hours long.
Yep.
Yeah. I thought that was okay. I thought the score of it was actually outstanding.
Okay.
The whole beat that kind of goes throughout. An interesting storyline, but just really, really, really drawn out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we watched Oppenheimer and Hot Take Time. Didn't think it was good.
Really?
Did not think Oppenheimer was that good.
Interesting.
And I think part of it was, like, people were like, oh, you got to watch it in IMAX. And I'm like, okay, great. But I just thought the acting was meh. Okay. And then I thought the storyline was kind of, it was okay. It was interesting. But yeah, I think my favorite part of it was the guy that played Albert Einstein. Did you see it?
I have not seen it.
There's a guy that plays Albert Einstein. I'm like, this guy's outstanding playing Albert Einstein. It was like a 20-second part of it. Robert Downey Jr. is it. He's really good. Visually it's really compelling, but I think other than that, it kind of was meh. I'm like the only one that thinks that.
No, well, hey,
my wife also agrees with me. She was just like, meh.
That's good. So. I appreciate the open opinion.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. Final thing.
Yes.
Final thing. The Masters is coming up as well very soon. So Jon Rahm won last year. I'm not reading this. He's from Spain, you know, it's a very Spanish oriented.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. Exactly. So I'm not reading that. So here's what I want from you. You hypothetically win the Masters, you know,
like it's going to happen.
I mean, you shave off. I'm like an 18 handicap. Yeah. I don't know what yours is, but I'm not very good.
Yeah, it's bad.
But hypothetically you win the Masters in an alternate universe and you get to pick out the dinner that night. So give me an appetizer that you would pick out.
I think appetizer wise, I'm Italian, so it'd have to be like Italian, like what we ate, maybe some Youngstown stuff. You know, you're thinking like antipasta stuff, meat and cheese, maybe some flatbreads from across the area. I think I would do that. I think I would like try and get as much Youngstown influence into this, but I think the chefs, but you can bring whatever you want, you can do whatever you want. So
they're paying for it. I think he pays for it.
He pays for it?
I think so.
Yeah, then it definitely would be. I just pick up some Avalon boots and call it a day. Get some handles down there and be like, that's it.
All right. So you're going Avalon main course, handles, dessert,
and
then some antipasta or something.
Right. Yeah. But we'd probably do some, Italian influence and stuff like that.
Okay.
This looks outstanding. I think Scotty's was kind of like a Tex-Mex thing last year.
Yeah.
But like Jordan Spieth's has been, I think his was like kind of lacking. It was like chicken fingers and tater tots or something like that. But this is like,
I mean, when you can't pronounce it, it's good.
You hope, but like you kind of root for, if you're a player and you're not going to win, I think you would root for like the guy that maybe has a good cuisine. Yeah. Maybe if you're not a fan of like somebody from Finland, you're like, I don't want that food.
Yeah.
I don't want the Netherlands. I don't want that. I think, Hideki won it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I think that would, I would eat something from Japanese cuisine. I think there'd be something that would definitely appease me. But yeah, like Eastern, you're like Nordic. Could
so
be
like a Victor Hovland. We don't want him winning.
No, we're out. We're out for that. I'm skipping that.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's good. And usually they throw in like, a vegetarian option.
Right.
Like that, which, hey, if you're from Youngstown, if you're from the area, there's plenty of stuff there. All right, Andrew, we're going to wrap up here. But one more time, tell people where to follow you, the WFMJ crew, and what's going on one more time.
Okay, so you could follow all of us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We all have our own separate accounts and everything. Me personally, it's Andrew DiPaolo, meteorologist. Facebook locked me out 2 years ago.
Oh.
So it's people tag meteorologist Andrew DiPaolo and are like, hey, you haven't posted in a long time because I can't get into that account.
Okay.
So I had to create, Eric and I, it happened to both of us. We had to create new accounts.
Interesting.
At Andrew WFMJ on the X and then on the Instagrams, I am DiPaolo. WX. Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
And then as far as the day of the eclipse, you can tune in to WFMJ starting in the morning, show, 5 to 7 o'clock. We're going to be at a watch party. Nicole Kapalko will be at a watch party. We'll give you the latest forecast. On the noon, I will be at my location that I'll be stationed at all day. It's going to be on the beaches of Lake Erie, somewhere along the lake shore. It'll be a surprise.
I like it.
And then after that, we've got special coverage 2:30 to 3:30.
Okay.
It's going to be on the air, on the website, on the app, all the modes covered. So we'll have everything covered for you. After the special coverage ends at 3:30, at 5 o'clock, I've got a live weather and a wrap on 21 News at 5 and 6. And then we'll have the full forecast, myself and Chief Meteorologist Eric Wilhelm at 6 as well. So
perfect. Yeah. Well, we're 4 days out from this. And this is, 96 hours from now. This is one of the coolest events, meteorology speaking, whatever, science, like science,
humanity,
like,
you know,
like life,
it's you know, it's one of those things too. It's everybody puts on a pair of solar eclipse glasses and looks at the sun for a minute and everybody stops talking, you know, which is crazy when it's really humbling. When you think about that, everyone is putting on, that's watching that eclipse, is looking up at the sun and kind of just in awe of a scientific at a celestial event. And everyone stops for a minute, which is really, I mean, really powerful. When we, in a time when we're very divided, we all, it seems like we bicker and fight nonstop, you know, we're going to be watching the moon move between the earth and the sun. And for, you know, however long, 30 seconds to up to 4 minutes or so, we all just stop and enjoy ourselves.
And put your, incredible. Put your phone down and just watch it.
Right.
And make sure you have your glasses too. But no, this was cool, Andrew. I appreciate you taking
the
time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know you got to head to you got to head to work now and do your
back
real
to
deal.
Work. Yeah, thankfully you guys are right downtown here, so I just kind of scooted on over. Here.
But shout out to Trex
Coffee,
again.
Yeah,
hey,
Trex Coffee House,
keeping us.
Go visit
tired
them. They
dads.
Just open up on Mahoning Avenue. So go. I think they close at 2 every day or something like that, from what I saw on the sign. So go visit them and watch our coverage. On Monday, we'll have that forecast and then on 21 News at 5, 6, and 11. You know, right now, like I said, cloud-wise, we're trying to get the low clouds out of here.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be like a day like today. So I think regardless, it shouldn't deter you from going out and enjoying the eclipse. Go out, be safe, enjoy yourself.
And, well, cheers to a clear day. And we appreciate all you guys do.
Thank
so
you. Yeah.
Make sure to tune in to WFMJ for full coverage. Make sure to follow Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports Show. We appreciate you guys watching. We will talk to you very soon.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. This is original Youngstown content. Feel free to share our videos and tell your friends about us. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Facebook. Thank you for your support.